Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Wolf Pod. But this is not just a normal episode. We have a special evening plan tonight. We are doing a collaboration with the Double Up podcast. So, as usual, you could be joined by any member of the Wolf Pack on our Wolf Pod. This week, you are joined by me, Andy, FPL Teach Mode, and you are also joined by Rich, FPL. Evening, Rich. How's it going?
Yeah, all good. Thanks, mate. Lovely to be on.
Yeah, no worries, mate. And we're also joined by Wes, and I'll let you introduce yourself, mate.
Yeah, great, mate. Thanks for obviously collaborating with myself, and it would usually be John here for those Double Up listeners out there. John's not available tonight, so yeah, a collaboration with you guys on the Wolf Pod. I'm looking forward to getting into it.
Yeah, it's going to be good. It's obviously, we had you on the pod a couple of weeks ago, didn't we, which was lovely to have you on, and I know we were speaking about how much we enjoyed speaking together as well. So to be able to do this only a couple of weeks later is awesome, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly, mate. Like you said, we had a really good time. How long ago was it now? Two or three, 4 weeks ago?
It was only about 2 weeks ago, I think, now.
Was it? Yeah. I think because we had that big, we had the international break, it seems like a bit longer. But yeah, that was really fun. And yeah, it's nice to do a collaboration, and then hopefully the Wolf Pod listeners will like to listen to a bit of like what the FPL Double Up's about, and likewise for your listeners. So yeah, it's a really nice opportunity.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, from me and Rich, who occasionally, Rich obviously occasionally appears on the Wolf Pod. Hello to all the Double Up listeners out there. And for all you Double Up listeners, hello, we are the Wolf Pod as well. So Rich, obviously we've invited you along as well, because I know you've appeared on the Double Up Pod a few times, is that right?
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm kind of guesting or, you know, stepping in for people left, right and centre. The last time I was on the Wolf Pod was because somebody else couldn't make it. And then I assume today that somebody else was going to come on. But
you're always the bridesmaid, mate.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. I'm just happy to be on. Happy to be chatting about FPL.
I'm only joking. Oh, what, you were first choice this time round, mate?
Of course I was.
All right. I tell you what, I'll just talk to Wes all night. Is that all right?
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, we've carried on with the format of the Wolf Pod just because we wanted to get a few questions in and stuff, and it's a nice way for me and the lads to chat. So we've got our three main questions that we're going to go through. We usually have two that are FPL based and one kind of psychological based question towards the end. So the questions we're going to be thinking about this week are: do we dare captain a player that doesn't play for Spurs? Why isn't Lingard 100% owned? And then what should we do after a bad game week? Which I think is going to be a really interesting one, because a lot of people didn't have such a good game week this week, especially those that were on their wild card, unfortunately. Wink, wink, Rich. we've also got some community questions to answer at the very end as well. So if we get stuck into it, and we'll go to our Double Up Pod side of the podcast first. So Wes, talk me through it, mate. Do we dare captain a player that doesn't play for Spurs this week? Kane is looking close to being the first ever 200% or over effective ownership captain in FPL ever. You know, it's going to be ridiculous how highly owned he is. Yeah. Son is obviously going to be very highly owned as well. And is he a captain potential? What are you thinking this week in terms of captain?
Yeah, for me, it's an absolute nail on. 100% you have to be attacking Spurs. Spurs are the only team with a double game week. In other double game weeks, you'll get multiple teams, and you know, you could put a case forward for player X or player Y. At the minute, game week 32, it's only Spurs with a double game week. So you have to be looking at Spurs assets. And out of their assets, you know, the only ones you can really captain are Kane or Son. Son more so maybe, you know, in the first sort of half of the season, or, you know, whenever his real purple patch was. I know he scored against United, but for me, Kane has had that sort of season-long form, if you like. And obviously, it's kind of going to be a quick answer for me and a bit of a boring one, but, you know, this isn't a week to be taking these sort of punts on a, you know, you could argue Iheanacho and Lingard are both bang on form and got decent fixtures, which is true, but Kane has a double game week. Kane's going to be my captain. Kane's going to be my triple captain. And for me, anyone captaining anyone but Kane or Son, I'd completely disagree with. Whereas last week, and that isn't me just saying, you know, go for those sort of Kane / Bruno type players. Last week, I was very open to people going, I went Jota, for example, didn't work out. But I was very much of the mindset last week, it was much more of an open sort of playing field, if you like. Whereas this week, it isn't. It is Kane for me, really, or Son. But yeah, I'm all set on Kane.
Yeah, I do completely agree with you. I think, like you just alluded to there, in terms of he's been season-long form, he's player of the season this year in so many people's eyes. And you think he's got a double game week against Southampton, who are just, they seem to be the first team that are on the beach at the moment, and Everton, who are more than happy to not show up in weeks as well.
Yeah,
I mean, Rich, we were talking about a little bit there about Son that's creeping into people's minds as well. Do you agree with the idea that if you're struggling this year and you're trying to pick up points against somebody else, or you're trying to actively kind of really climb up those overall ranks now, that you should be captaining Son instead of Kane this week? Because I'm not sure I agree with it.
No, I mean, it's pretty straightforward for me. You just captain the player you think is going to get the most points. If you think Son's going to get the most points, then captain him. But I wouldn't be going against that and saying, I'm going to captain Son, even though I think somebody else is going to get more points because I want a differential captain. You know, I am behind people in mini leagues, and I don't feel like me captaining Son is going to gain me an advantage. I mean, if he does get extra points, great, but I feel like Kane's going to be the one to get the most points. So this week, I don't think is a week to take that chance. You've got so many other players with individually good fixtures that if you've got a differential, like, I mean, I've just wildcarded, so I've got a completely different team to a lot of people in mini leagues to me. That's differential enough. So I'm going to captain the player that's getting the most points, I think that's Harry Kane.
Yeah, no, fair enough. And I think it can be that easy this week. But Wes, if we're going to play devil's advocate, you know, Mourinho, oh my goodness, what is he doing with his team at the moment? You know, drawing two all against Newcastle, losing to Man United 3-1 at home, and just looking abject with performances at times. If you are somebody out there that thinks, actually, I don't trust this Spurs team, I don't trust Kane or Son to do that well in the next, you know, over the next two fixtures and that one game week, who would you be sticking the armband on if you were one of those people? I'm not saying you are, but if you are.
Yeah, exactly. So I would be, yeah, like I say, it is completely devil's advocate because I would be fully on Kane or Son at a push.
Just get that in there again.
Yeah. But no, yeah, no, it's good to have a play around. It's just, even talking about the section, is going to sort of highlight some good players to people who, you know, might not be in their teams or whatever. So the obvious ones that stand out would be someone like Iheanacho at home to West Brom, would be someone like Lingard away at Newcastle, I believe. Haven't got all the fixtures to hand, actually. And Bruno's playing, remind me who Bruno's playing this week? It's Burnley at home.
Yeah, Burnley at home.
So those, on any other game week, they'd all be tempting me. Bruno at home to Burnley. Yes, I love that fixture. And likewise for Iheanacho and Lingard are on absolute fire. I think Iheanacho has got 7 goals in his last 5 games. And 4 of those games, he's got max bonus in the 4. And he blanked against Man City only, and obviously didn't get bonus then. But even when he's getting a solitary goal, he's getting max bonus. And even when he got a brace last game, didn't he? He competed with Jesse Lingard's brace and beat him to bonus. So, you know, showing he's good for bonus points, which can really make the difference, can't it, in terms of, you know, you get that striker who gets a goal. I remember DCL back at the start of the season would score 1 goal, but not get the bonus.
Yeah.
And it can really make a difference, that. So, yeah, I like those 3 as options. Yeah.
Yeah. And, yeah, it's really tough, isn't it, Rich? Because like Wes is just saying there, you know, in no way is he saying, oh, yeah, I'm expecting these people to outscore Kane. But in no scenario am I thinking that Iheanacho or Lingard or someone like that is going to outscore Kane across these two games. It's just not looking possible, is it?
No, I mean, like, you know, obviously anything can happen, as we've all sort of fallen victim to this season. It's been absolutely crazy, and you know, we haven't mentioned Salah and Jota are away to Leeds. So you know, there's another prime example of a decent captaincy shout in a normal week. It just so happens that all of these fixtures are this week, and Tottenham have got a double. And so whilst all of those, Bruno could do well, Salah, Jota could do well, etc., I can't see past captaining who's probably been one of, if not the best player in the league in a double game week against a team like Southampton that have just, you know, well, like you said on the beach earlier, they were terrible against West Brom yesterday, absolutely terrible. And Everton looked devoid of ideas against Brighton in one of the most boring games I've ever seen. So, yeah, I think you've got to go Kane or Son if that is your, you know.
And just to add, just sorry to jump back in again, but just to add to that, what I would say is if Salah scores a hat-trick this week, I'm not going to be thinking, oh, I wish I captained Salah over Kane. And likewise for all those other options, I'm just not going to regret it. And even Son, I'm not going to be kicking myself. Harry Kane is this is the easiest captaincy decision I've made all season, which is why I've made him my triple captain. He's got everything going for him. He's got penalties. He's got season-long form. He's nailed on. You know, like with when City, you know, there's going to be other double game weeks coming on later in the season. So I think the main question people will be listening to this who still have their triple captain might be thinking, am I confident enough to triple captain Harry Kane? I think he's got everything going for him. I think the only thing was what you touched on earlier, Andy, which was, you know, Spurs slash Mourinho are in a bit of a sticky situation as a team. So, you know, ideally they'd be absolutely, you know, blowing teams away like they were back in November, whenever it was. It's not quite that situation. So I do get that as maybe a reservation to not triple captain Kane. It wouldn't be a reservation not to captain him for me. But even despite that, I'm still going to triple captain him. He is just off the back of a, well, not just off, but recently got a brace against Newcastle. Yeah, it's just, I'm going to triple captain him. And even if it fails, I don't think, I'm not really going to regret it because I'm going to feel like it was the right decision, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, completely. And do you know what? In some ways as well, I really like the idea of him being a dead spot, you know, in my team, because for so many weeks now, I've been struggling with captaincy. It's nice thinking, well, everybody's going to be captaining him anyway. It's quite nice that all my other players then turn into differentials that can help me gain in rank. Yeah, and I really like that idea. And don't get me wrong. I mean, like I said, I had Salah captain this week and he obviously got me a goal. But knowing that no matter what Kane does, it doesn't matter unless you've triple captained him is actually quite a nice feeling, because now I'm thinking the rest of them have quite nice fixtures. Nobody else is going to really be captaining them. And maybe Son is going to be over 100%, but the rest of them will be below that. So I quite fancy that, to be honest.
Yeah, it's much more relaxing, that, isn't it? Where you can actually cheer on every player in your team. Yeah. And even if you captain blanks, it's kind of like, well, everyone who's playing seriously is captain's blanked, unless there's a real daredevil out there who, you know, has the balls to go for someone else.
Right, let's move on to our second question then. So our second question, and Rich, I'm going to aim this at you first. Why isn't Lingard 100% owned? He is absolutely incredible at the moment. And I never, ever thought we'd be spending this long talking about a Lingard that, you know, struggled so much at United at times. But he is just on another level at the moment. You know, you look at the goals he scored, and some of them are fortuitous, I will say that. But he's constantly returning points at the moment. So why is he not in every single team?
I don't have him. And I cannot believe it. I've had two opportunities to get him in. In the blank game week, I went for Bale with one eye on the Newcastle fixture. And then on the wild card, I opted for Vardy, which meant I had to sacrifice elsewhere. So I sacrificed Lingard. And I was on a bike ride on Saturday and we paused a couple of times. And I saw Lingard 1-0. I was like, oh, cool, okay. After Trent had got 11 points, and I haven't got him either. And then we stopped again. I was like, Lingard 2-0. You know, I'm not going to swear, just in case we want to keep this PG. But yeah, I mean, he's 60% owned in the top 10k. These goals that he's scoring are just ridiculous. And you know, there's people that are like, well, you know, he's overperforming his XG and all of this stuff, but stats aren't the be all and end all of this at all. He's full of confidence, and West Ham are absolutely in the race for the top four this year. So you know, a lot of people have said he won't carry on. Why not? Like, he's banging form. He's got Newcastle next. They've looked better, but I think West Ham can beat anyone at the moment. So yeah, I think he's definitely on my radar. maybe not this week, but he's on my radar, and I think he's on most people's now.
And Wes, I mean, Rich has just touched on it there. You know, is it just a case now that people are being stubborn if they're not bringing him in? I mean, obviously, Rich has just said it there that I think he's getting Son in this week instead of Lingard, which is fair enough because he's got the double game week. But people looking at Lingard and saying he's not going to carry on, is that just being stubborn with when a player's, you know, performing the way he is? You should just be getting them in regardless of what the stats say.
Yeah, exactly. So I think Rich's nearly called you Richard then. Rich's point of view, Rich's mindset is actually spot on there. He's noticed that he probably can't actually get him in this week. He would like him. He's not being stubborn in this scenario. But other people will be. They will be saying he can't carry it on. And he's played 9 for West Ham. He's got 8 goals, 4 assists. That's 12 attacking returns in 9 games. It's insane. So when people say he won't carry that on, I believe them to that extent. But at his price, he doesn't have to carry that on. If he's getting, over the next 9 games, if he just scores, how many games are left or whatever, you know what I'm trying to say, eight more games for West Ham, or 7 maybe, and he scores 3 or 4 and grabs an assist or two, that's good enough. So he doesn't have to maintain this level. He can drop off a bit and still be a good asset. And Rich made a really great point. Stats aren't the be-all, end-all. He's on really he's on unbelievable form, so much confidence. His goal against Wolves, he never looked like missing. His goal against Leicester, people said that was like a scuff, but I think he meant it. his tapping against Leicester, he was just everywhere on the pitch. He's got so much energy that he can be, you know, 3 or 4 yards ahead of the defence. He even had to slow himself down just to tap it in. So, yeah, he got an assist ruled out for like a real marginal offside in that game as well. So he could have had an even bigger haul. So, yeah, no, he is on fire. If you're saying that sort of thing and being stubborn, yeah, I'd agree that you need to change your mindset. But there are some, like, you have these scenarios over the courses of every FPL season where it's kind of like the one that got away. And I think Rich is kind of in that boat at the minute where he's got to use transfer on, you know, elsewhere. Could he minus four him in? Possibly. But, yeah, Lingard, his ownership. I think I saw a tweet earlier that he's by far the most transfer player in this week so far. I guess that's going to continue with, you know, most people having Kane. I guess Son's probably going to be second. But yeah, there's absolutely no reason not to get Lingard. They're fighting for top four. Brilliant form. Get him in if you can.
Yeah. And Rich, I mean, the only thing I can think of why people, apart from the underlying stats, which people keep talking about as well, is the fact that, you know, they are in a little bit of an injury crisis, aren't they? You know, Cresswell's potentially out now. Antonio's out. Declan Rice is obviously such a big part of their play as well. Do you think that's going to have an impact on him? Or do you think actually he's taking the impetus on himself to go forward and win these games for West Ham at the moment?
Might even be better for him. I mean, in terms of my transfers this week, I'm going to roll. I've already got Son. I can't get to Lingard without taking a minus four, so I'm not gonna minus four it. I want to see if this wild card is actually good or not. So, in terms of Lingard himself, Antonio just means it looked like he was playing further forward. Like Jarrod Bowen was up top as well, and they both looked pretty damn good together.
Yeah, they linked up nicely.
Yeah, so what's to say that they just say, right, well, yeah, you know, Antonio is out, but we'll just keep rolling with you two because you did well against, and Leicester aren't a bad side at all. They have the old brain, you know, the occasional brain fart, but for the most part, Leicester are a very, very good team. So if they can do it against Leicester, I can't see anything but a West Ham win against Newcastle, despite Newcastle playing remotely better, like slightly better. But then against Chelsea, they might even do something against Chelsea because they've started conceding randomly as well.
Do you know what I think it is? I think I know you said you're going to sort of touch on a psychology based sort of subject later, but I think this kind of falls into that category as well with Lingard with some people. Like, people have him in their mind as a troll because at Man United he didn't get a goal or an assist for like a 12-month period or something stupid, wasn't it? Because obviously he wasn't playing regularly or confident or whatever was going on. But you have to adjust in FPL. So if someone would have told me like a month or like literally just 2 months ago that the only two players saving my entire game week this game week would have been Iheanacho and Lingard, I'd have said no way. A couple of game weeks, I was still unsure. Even early on in this week, I was still a bit unsure on Iheanacho. I've brought him in, but I feel like you have to change your mindset as it goes on. So three players that fall into that category for me, who I'd have steered well clear of early on in the season, would have been Lingard. When he say when Lingard first joined West Ham, you've got to give him time. You don't know what you're going to get from him. So at that point, he was not an FPL asset. Same for Iheanacho because he wasn't getting in the team, and same for someone like Lacazette. I've only changed my opinion on him very recently as well. He's always been a kind of, and maybe it's my own bias, it's something that I had to change. Maybe I had a bias against him where I feel like he always lets you down. He's too patchy. He sometimes gets rotated. He sometimes doesn't look interested, blah, blah, blah. And I think over the course of the years, that's been a correct play for me, not to get him in for the majority of the time. But now he does actually look bang on it. He looks like he's playing with more confidence, et cetera, et cetera. And a little bit like the Lingard situation where, you know, he's just playing better. He's going to stay in the team more. Aubameyang looks out of favour, so he's going to play in that sort of striker position more often. And they've got a good run of fixtures. So someone like him is now, I'd say to someone, yeah, he is now a good pick. Whereas like a couple of weeks ago, I'd have been a bit on the fence or a bit like, don't fancy him kind of thing.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong. It's one of the hardest things in FPL when you don't own a player that's returning well, and all you're thinking to yourself is this going to continue? And that is one of the biggest things we think about all the time in FPL. Not only the way where players are performing, but also when they're not performing. You know, where we're looking at a premium asset and we're thinking, oh, is this going to continue? Look at Salah not that long ago, had ages when he hadn't scored, and it was, is this going to continue? And you're trying to think about when those upticks and downticks are going to happen, basically, isn't it?
Yeah.
And like you just said, you do have to try and be flexible, though, and it can be incredibly hard. You know, look, someone like Rich, who I know, keep talking about you, Rich, as if you're not here, but, you know, you're saying that you won't be able to get Lingard in this week. That's not you being stubborn and saying I don't want him because I don't think he's going to perform. It's just that you have got other priorities in your team that you want to get to, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I've literally just wildcarded, and I had two drafts that I took to the wire with it. I went one way, and I was confident in my decision. I was like, Leicester have got good fixtures. Iheanacho isn't nailed, you know. Although he's playing well, he's not nailed. Vardy is nailed. I want both, just as a bit of coverage. I have got a lot of attacking coverage in Liverpool with Jota and Salah, so I'm going to go for a cheaper player like Nat Phillips. And it's bit me in the bum. But I don't want to tear up that wild card after 1 week. I want to give it a bit of time. So I'm going to roll. Yeah. I'm not just going to bin it off and make a mistake. I'm not going to be stubborn with it to the point where I'm just going to leave it play out for 5 weeks. If Vardy doesn't do anything against West Brom, then I might want to ship him out as part of a move to get Lingard in and just be like, I've made a mistake. I'm getting on with it.
But
I want to give it at least a week before I start making changes to it.
I think that's the right decision. I think sometimes it's one of those where you've made your bed, you've got to lay in it type of thing. And if you do that -4 this week and go Vardy and, you know, out of your midfielders, who would you even lose? But let's just say you did do that and you downgraded Vardy to like a Watkins or whatever you ended up doing. I think it's Smith Rowe you've got, isn't it? That you could maybe upgrade Lingard. And then Vardy's got West Brom at home, and Vardy's the one who gets a brace this week, and Lingard actually has a quiet one. So, and you've lost 4 points to do it. So, yes, you had two wild cards, didn't you? One had sort of Lingard, Trent, and I can't remember who else myself.
That was the Vardy. It was the Vardy draft. Was Trent, Lingard, and Vardy? Trent. It was Trent, Lingard, and somebody like Vydra. That was it. It was Vydra, who all scored this week. Versus Vardy, Smith Rowe, and Nat Phillips, and I went with Vardy for I wanted more coverage of Leicester's juicy fixtures.
Yeah, but it just could have gone either way. Trent scoring in the last minute, otherwise him and Nat Phillips get the exact same amount of points. And Vardy versus Lingard this week, you know, it was a game where it was West Ham 3, Leicester 2. Vardy could have easily been involved in those, and you know, it could have gone the other way. And this week might happen. So you haven't got a bad team. It didn't work out for you last week, but it could easily switch. There's been so many occasions like that for me over the years where it hasn't worked out in week one, a certain set of transfers, but it might do the next week. Or, you know, it might fail. It's just one of those. And then at that point, you know, if Vardy has another quiet game, like you said, at that point you can bite the bullet and say, right, I've made a mistake, I'll fix it now. But yeah, I fully agree in that situation. You should be rolling. And if you listen to this thinking this is all about Richard's team, it's actually not. It's actually about a mindset. Sorry, that little section, you know, it is about Richard's team, but apply it to your own team, your own circumstances, and think, can I actually get Vardy in? And sometimes you don't want to be ripping up your team just to get that one player in. Sometimes you do have to let a player go or accept that player is going to get points, but the players in your team can get points too.
Yeah. And do you know what? It's really interesting what Rich said there about he's going to roll and he's going to keep with that wildcard team to see how it does in the next week. And I know they say in science a lot that you need 3 points of data in order to see whether something's a pattern. You know, you can't just take 1 week and say, oh, that's failing or that's successful. You know, even after 2 weeks, you don't know which one is which. Whereas after 3 weeks, you can definitely say, yeah, I've made some mistakes here. Let's try and edit them out. And I really like the fact that you're rolling, Rich, because I think a lot of people could struggle on their wild card, change it, and then all of a sudden that wild card team does really well. And it's having the balls to basically stick with it. But obviously being flexible next week if it all goes to shit again.
Exactly.
Yeah. So on that note, we are going to go on to our last question. Our last question is, what should we do after a bad game week? And a lot of people are feeling like this because a lot of people are wildcarded and their wildcards haven't quite worked out. Some people have had bad captaincies. Some people have watched other people get Stuart Dallas off the bench with 17 points and they've been left with a lowly 30 to 40 points and feeling a little bit down at the moment. So Wes, if we go to you first, mate, in your opinion, what do you do after a bad game week and what do you think people should do?
So there's a few practical things that I do, but first of all, I want to talk about, so this game week I did have Dallas and Watkins on the bench. So I had a big bench score that they didn't come onto the pitch, so that's frustrating. And at the time, it wiped out my Edison clean sheet, and not many people had the clean sheet for Man City that week with Diaz on the bench. So it was a tough watch, but you've got to kind of, for me, I took the positives out of the fact that I did get, in the end, 56 points and a small green arrow this week. So that was enough for me. It was kind of one of those where it was a damage limitations week after a tough start. I was happy to get a minor green arrow and just sort of, you know, forget about the bench points. They are what they are. But early on in the season, I had a game week rank of around 6 million after a huge mistake with not activating my bench boost, taking a minus 8, and then the players on my pitch actually not performing. So I had a horrendous game week that week off the back of a really stupid mistake, which, you know, is exemplified by, you know, having a social media account that is FPL related and, you know, shouldn't be making those sort of mistakes. So that was a tough one to take mentally for me. What I did that day is I turned off my phone for pretty much the whole day, spent the time with my kids, tried to get over it that way. So there's that sort of going outside exercise and all that sort of stuff is a good way of mentally, you know, making yourself feel better. Putting into perspective as well, you know, if you think about, right, okay, I've had a shit FPL week, but is the rest, you know, is the rest of my life good? Have I got food on the table? Have I got this? And just having a bit of humility that way is a really good thing about actually think it does really help me anyway. And also in terms of how that then affects your future decisions. So again, back to Rich's point a minute ago, he's kind of had something that didn't go his way. He hasn't thrown his toys out the pram and just done a minus 8 straight away, like on a Monday night to you know, get Lingard in, etc. He's just very calmly made his decisions, and that's the right way to play it. And I did the same after that bench boost disaster. I went down from, like, I think I've climbed to around top 20k, and I think I dropped out of the top 100k in 1 week. So what I did there is I just built it back up slowly. I didn't do any drastic changes, didn't take a minus 4 for a few weeks, or didn't do anything like that, and I just built it up. So there's some practical things you can do in terms of, you know, exercise, turning your phone off, spending time with family. Like, my wife and kids don't care about football at all, so it's actually quite good. Whereas, yeah, all my friends, if I was going to see them, it's, you know, you can't get away from it. But yeah, yeah, hopefully that sort of explains where what I wanted to get out there. It's hard to put into words.
No, it can be, to be fair. And actually, I really like what you said, and I do something very, very similar as well, where I, if I know I'm having a bad game week, I turn it all off, don't even look at it. I don't even look at my rank until either the day after or a couple of days after. Mm-hmm. And I literally have to say, I have to, like, do a bit of a deep breath and go, right, let's have a look at the rank then, and sit and then see the damage. Because I know if I look at the damage on the day it's gone wrong, it just Maybe piles it up, and it's just like, yeah, sod that. Rich, what kind of stuff do you do, mate, when you've had a bad game week? What have you done this week?
Well, I don't spit my dummy out in public. I do it in private, and then we pretend I haven't. I mean, yeah, this week I feel greedy, really. I won 50. I got 56. I got a green arrow. I know people like Flapjack got 30. You know, and he's chirpier than I am. I mean, similar to Wes, really. Like, I just turned it off last night. I was just like, yeah, I know it's not going well. The West Brom game was the early kickoff, and the guy, I don't know if he's going to listen to this, but the guy above me in my mini league's got Sam Johnston as goalkeeper. And Mo, you text me, you said Saints penalty, and I wasn't even watching it. I just replied, he saves it. Because yeah. I knew he saved it. And then I think you said something along the lines of, oh, are you watching it? I was like, no, I just knew that was going to happen because that is how this week is going. And so, yeah, then I just switched everything off. Wes has made some great shots there. Just turn it off. Like, Twitter can be a pretty dark place when you're not having a good week and everyone else is. So the last thing you want to be doing is scrolling on the feed. Don't be going on to FPL game week. Don't be going on to live FPL. Like you said, just turn everything off. Go and do something else. Like, you know, I went out on a bike ride and at that point it wasn't too bad, but the bike ride, it still kept me occupied while I was cycling. But
you drove to Scotland and back, didn't you, mate?
Yeah. Every time we stop, I get my phone out. And I'm gonna learn from it. I'm gonna turn it off. I've got rid of the FPL game week tab on my phone now. I don't need to see it. There's no point. Yeah. They've got no, it's no benefit. Get into a book, get into a box set, play some Xbox. Just anything that can take you away from it.
Do something like non-football related can help as well. Yeah, if you don't want to go outside and exercise, then watch something different, or do something inside that's just not football. But another thing that's interesting from this sort of point of view is then how to sort of turn it into a positive.
Yeah.
And actually have just a positive mindset. Yeah, thanks. Mm-hmm. That's good. Me and Rich were talking earlier, and again, sorry, this was like on WhatsApp, but I was struggling to articulate what I meant, but it's kind of like, you know, if I have a bad game week, it definitely bothers me, and it should do. If you're at home thinking like, oh, why does a bad game, FPL game week bother you? Good, it should do. If you're like a winner and we play this game to try and beat our mates, we're not just doing it to, you know, finish bottom of our mini leagues and be like, oh, all hunky-dory. So, you know, I'm not positive for the, you know, fake positivity for the sake of it. It's more about, using that positive mindset to drive your FPL team forward and drive your performance. And I think that really helps, and just sort of taking a step back and, you know, one game week in isolation can look really bad, but like my, you know, I had that horror game week earlier in the season that I keep talking about, but it absolutely came my rank. It was awful, but I didn't panic at that point because I was confident in being able to get back up to a decent rank, which has happened so far. Hopefully I can maintain it to the end of the season. But the point there is just keeping that positive mindset, taking the positives from what you can and driving forward with it rather than sort of dwelling on it and using a bad game week to then therefore make more bad decisions. People try and fix a bad game week by, oh, my team shit, I need to take out X, Y, and Z. When sometimes you don't need to do that, the best thing you do is actually do nothing.
Yeah.
Roll the transfer or whatever it might be. So yeah, that's a real important point I'd say, is don't go on tilt, which means don't let the negative experience then lead to more bad decisions. Take that away and actually make good decisions going forward.
Yeah, no, I like it. And I know, I think I read somewhere a couple of years ago about if you're having a bad week, keep things as simple as possible moving forward. Mm. So like you just said, either roll or just make one transfer. Just keep it as simple as possible. Captain the most template person you can think of, if that's okay. You know, just keep it as simple as possible when you're moving forward. And I know that we've spoken a little bit now about kind of instantly what do you do if it's going wrong. What do you do, you know, and you take yourself away and things like that. But obviously at some point in the next couple of days, you'll have to turn your brain from emotional brain into analytical brain, and you'll have to look at your team and think, right, was this just the unluckiest game week I've ever looked at? Or sorry, I've just been locked out of my Twitter. Is it that you've sorry, that's thrown me off massively. Is it that you've been
unlucky? You're kind of saying, have you been really unlucky, or have you been, or is it just one of those where, you know, your team's in good shape essentially?
Yeah, exactly that. And also, I think some people can get really, really hung up on the fact that, oh, they've been really, really unlucky. Whereas actually, if you look back at it, if you every week say you've been really unlucky, you're not able to take any control over that team.
Yeah.
And actually, it could be that you're making all those mistakes, and it's something that you do have to look at. So there's definitely be able to instantly take yourself away from the game and say, yeah, I need to take myself away because I'm getting too emotional. And then when that emotional side of you is gone, look at it analytically and think, this is what I need to do to get, you know, to make my next week hopefully better.
Yeah, a million percent.
Yeah, right. So we are going to move on to our community questions now. Just as well, I took photos of them. And the first one we've got is from FPL SWAT. So, Rich, I'm going to ask you this one, and then I will ask Wes it as well. Which one statistic do you prioritise more than any other when picking your FPL captain each week? Previous FPL points, XG, opposition defensive statistics, effective ownership, or shot frequency?
Good question.
Yeah, it is a cracking question. SWAT's a cracking lad as well. In all honesty, it is a combination of things like form, opposition stats, and effective ownership. But if you held a gun to my head and said one thing, I'd go with form, just because form and scoring goals, creating assists, it brings confidence. And you can't measure confidence in stats. There's no X confidence or anything like that. And so for me, I'd have to say form, because form breeds confidence. And then, you know, when a player is confident, he's going to take that shot. He's going to make that extra pass because he knows he can do it. So I'd go with form.
Nice. Yeah, Wes? Nice.
Yeah, so I just want to rule one out quickly because I want to talk about it. So he said effective ownership in his fourth bullet point there. I never take that into consideration, genuinely. So this week I captained Jota, for example. And I didn't do that because he was a differential captain to the likes of Salah. I did it because I thought he was going to score the most points. Whereas in the previous week, I think I did have the most the captain player. But again, I didn't do it because of that reason. Mm-hmm. So what I'm trying to say is I don't go and look for differential captain or look for template captain. I disregard all that stuff completely. So what one thing do I look at? I guess it is tough to be one thing because, Rich, for you, you said about you'd prioritise form, but does that mean you'd go, say, Bruno Fernandes away at City if he was on a really good run? Or would you go Kane then, who's at home to a West Brom, when Kane might not... So this is hypothetical. I'm not talking about real life right now. I'm talking about if Bruno was on really good form, but he had City away, whereas Kane had patchy form, but he had a Burnley at home or Palace at home. would you not go for Kane in that scenario?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. And I mean, I'm glad you said hypothetical, because I was going to come at you with, but Bruno scored a penalty at City. Or he got a goal, didn't he?
But yeah,
I mean, this is why I said, you know, it's a combination of form, opposition stats. And I mean, I do consider effective ownership. And if I'm a coward or whatever, so be it. But it forms part of my decision-making process. This is the first year where I've properly given FPL Twitter and FPL a go for OR. And so I am learning every day. I've played it for years and years and years, but this is a brand new world to me this year. So all of these things are new to me. But yeah, I can see your point completely. And yeah, I probably would go with Kane in your example, but that's why I think it is probably a combo.
It's tough, yeah. That's exactly the right answer, because it is a combination. So he's asked us to prioritise one, but it's actually impossible because, like I just said, in that example, you've got two conflicting ones where you have to take both into consideration. And at that point, you might go for the one with a bit more patchier form. So yeah, I think you have to take into account the sort of form and the opposition defensive statistics. Those would be the two main points for the ones he said. And back to your point about you take effective ownership on board, that's completely fair enough and a completely valid way to play. There's loads of valid ways of how to play FPL. It's not something I do. But I know, you know, there's loads of managers out there who probably have a better rank history than me who probably do take that effective ownership, sorry, more seriously than I do.
Mm. Lovely stuff. Right. I like this. I'll just ask you a question and you two chat about it. FPL Gingerbread is asking, and this one's for you, Wes. I'm taking Sterling out of my wildcard team after a 1 week punt. Bruno isn't tempting me. So who out of Havertz or Pulisic would you go for?
I wouldn't go for either of those. Or any other suggestions with a premium budget? So yeah, hasn't obviously can't see his team. So Son's the one you really should be targeting this week for obviously that double game week. And obviously Lingard's in blistering form. I still like Jota and Salah. Obviously those two aren't mentioned there. I'm kind of just listing all the basically my midfield or the sort of template wildcard midfield. But you know that's the players who I believe in there. So yeah, I wouldn't be. But to narrow into his question a bit more. I wouldn't be going for Havertz or Pulisic. I just don't trust that Chelsea rotation. I don't actually know enough about that Chelsea rotation, but I do know that they do rotate a lot. So I wouldn't feel confident going, especially, and Pulisic has injury history. Havertz has confidence issues this season. So yeah, I wouldn't go for either of those. If you had to press me and say which Chelsea midfielder is the best, I'd 100% say Mason Mount for me. And yeah, this is another lesson for everyone to learn when you're on the wildcards. 1 week punts are a bad idea because it wastes a valuable transfer the following week. So yeah, that's why, you know, Rich didn't do that and I wouldn't have done that on my wildcard. Not to rub salt in the wounds because I had a Jota, you know, blank captain. So it's just some sort of advice on not taking 1 week punts.
Yeah, fair enough. Just as a little counter thing there, I love Havertz at the moment. I would be all over Havertz if I could. Just
really?
I know exactly what you mean about the rotation. And, you know, they're playing a full strength side against Porto tonight, obviously, understandably. And Havertz is in that. So's Mount, so's Ziyech. You know, and you just think, yeah, that is going to be rife for rotation. But the way Havertz is playing and the position he's in as well, that false nine, I think they're going to get the best out of him till the end of the season. But it could only be five games at the last end of the season. So it is a tough one to do. It's whether you're happy with the rotation, I guess.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. Yeah, I think there is a lot of Havertz love out there. There's just certain types of player that I always tend to avoid, and they do sometimes pick up some points, and sometimes, obviously, I'm wrong. But yeah, Havertz is sort of falls into that category for me.
He could easily
prove me wrong, 100%.
He's the type of player, though, where I would say, oh, I'd love to get him. And you're right, I'd never own him because I'd be too scared of that rotation. I'm not that kind of a manager.
I'm not either. I just don't like players who frustrate me and who I'm always itching to transfer out, because if you bring in Havertz now as a bit of a punt and he fails, then it's another transfer out and it's on that same midfield slot. You're using a transfer to get rid of Sterling now and another transfer to get rid of Havertz.
Yeah.
Whereas with someone like, maybe I'm wrong, but with someone like Mount, I feel like he's more nailed than Havertz. Again, I could be wrong. I'm not an expert on Chelsea attacking mids, but it's just how I feel.
You know, I've always gone with a caveat that if I'm looking at a team lineup and hoping my player's in there every week, I probably shouldn't own that player because that's not really the players you should be targeting. Rich, you've got a question from I'm Davey. And he is asking, is it worth a double up on Leicester attack with their upcoming good fixtures?
I can't really say no, because I've got Vardy and Iheanacho. So, I mean, I certainly thought there was it was worth having a double up. And I don't know if there can be a klaxon or, you know, an air horn edited into this now that we've said double up on a collab with double up. but yeah, I mean, I think there's nothing wrong with double up on Leicester. Iheanacho, I can't see him being dropped now on his form. Like, if anything, I think Vardy might get dropped if they bring Maddison in, they play one up top. But I've got Vardy, Iheanacho. Maddison was he didn't play because he was a naughty boy going to a party with a few of the other Leicester lads. He'll be back in.
A party, by the way.
Yeah, apparently it was really good. But yeah, I'm not against the double up at all. It's just which one you go for. I really like Maddison, but I think I'm gonna have to give Vardy at least another week, because he's never been a stat padder, and yet he scored goals. No, you don't go for Vardy for his XG or anything. You go because he's cold with it. He just scores all the time.
And the two to, if you are going to do a Leicester double up in attack, the two to own would be Vardy in actual at the minute, because of Madison's back from this injury and this disciplinary issue. I think Maddison does come back into the team, I guess, now probably for Perez, and Iheanacho and Vardy will almost certainly keep their places, I guess. Hopefully I'm right there, because I've got Iheanacho, yeah. So I don't want him to drop out. So yeah, if you're going to go for that double up, I think it has to be Vardy and Iheanacho at the minute. I think it's probably a week too early to gamble on Maddison. Yeah, I'd probably give him one more week, see if he looks like he's back on it. And if you wanted that kind of differential, then maybe that could be the double up sort of a Maddison and an Iheanacho. It's certainly a lot cheaper than Vardy, isn't it? So yeah.
See, Rich, I'm going to say something that I'm sorry. I'm really worried about Vardy. I think there's something going on with Vardy there. I think Iheanacho is doing well to the detriment of Vardy. I feel like Vardy's role has changed massively recently, and I'm just watching it. I just feel like Iheanacho is the star man there at the moment. You know, he's the one who's getting all the goals, and he's that poacher next to him. And I'm don't get me wrong, Vardy's probably going to score two goals now this week, and Iheanacho will get a blank. So. But I'm just looking at it, and he's not, even though his stats still aren't there, and he's never been a stats guy anyway, I feel like the stats aren't there, and the eye test isn't there at the moment either.
I know what you mean. I do know what you mean.
And don't get me wrong, with Maddison back, I mean, Vardy still makes all those dangerous runs, and with someone like Maddison there threading those balls through, it'll be very different. But there's just something not quite clicking with Vardy at the moment, I think. And I think I'd struggle to get him in. If I had him, I'd be keeping him. But I think Iheanacho would be enough for me for Leicester, personally.
Yeah, maybe it's one of those where it's if you've got Vardy, hold him. But if you haven't got him, don't transfer him.
Yeah.
If you've got him, hold him. Give him West Brom. Yeah. If you haven't got Vardy at the minute, you know, there's maybe better ways you can spend that money, see how it goes. And then if Vardy does look like he's bang on it, then boom, yeah, get that double up for the future weeks.
Well, yeah, they play Southampton next, sorry, just to jump in. So then, like, you know, Southampton are arguably in worse form than West Brom. So it's like, I might even have to give him Southampton as well. But I caught the highlights of the West Ham game, and like you say, Andy, didn't look very good, didn't do anything. Yeah. Stats one's good, heat map.
I think
you'd
have to, if for those of you with Vardy out there, then what is probably a good idea when you're thinking of maybe moving a player on, but he does have that good fixture, you do want to see how he's playing, so you want to try and watch 90 minutes of Vardy in his next game, and there you can make a judgment of, okay, his next fixture is good, but I'm going to have to cut my ties. Or you might think, actually, you know what, he didn't score against West Brom, but he hit the post, he set up a couple of chances that the other players missed, etc. I'm going to keep him. So that's what that's the sort of thing you need to do. Watch the 90 minutes or the extended highlights if you can, and see what he's looking like. Because I do agree with you, Andy, that in that West Ham game, it looks like maybe he is sort of second fiddle at the minute, and maybe he's turning into a bit more of a creative, or just sort of, I don't know, making runs in behind to cause a bit of a nuisance, but not really being the one on the end of things at the minute. Because he's had a bit of a patchy injury hit season, hasn't he? So maybe that's affecting him. I don't know.
Yeah, and this is one of those moments, like I said, where I've said this, and now next week he'll bang to him, because all of a sudden Iheanacho's the main threat, and Vardy will be the one that gets the space. I don't know, it can all change quite quickly, but it's just what I'm seeing at the moment.
Yeah, but also that doesn't mean that, you know, people can dig up this conversation and say that you're wrong, because, you know, we're basing it on the current thing. There's been plenty of times this season where I've ruled out someone like Aubameyang or someone, and they've gone and done well, but I still stand by the point that I was making at the time. So yeah, I don't think there's anything wrong in what we're saying. And like you say, of course, any player can go ahead and score well in a certain game week, but Yeah.
Yeah. And they will, by the way. They will dig it up. Rich will, definitely.
Right, yeah.
Anyway, so we kind of finish ourselves off there. Cool, that doesn't... That's a bad choice of words, isn't it?
Explicit pod.
Collaboration pod.
Put your hands where we can see them, please, Andy.
Anyway, Rich from the Wolfpack side of the collab tonight. Cheers for joining us, bud.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's been a blast. Really enjoyed it tonight. Good to talk football.
Yeah, it's been lovely chatting to you, mate. And Wes from the, you know, Double Up Pod side of the pod. Cheers for joining us as well.
Yeah, cheers, guys. And to everyone listening, subscribe to both the Wolf Pod and Double Up if you haven't already. And obviously future game weeks will be back to our separate ways. But yeah, it's been a really great first time I've ever done a collaboration. I don't know about you boys, but yeah, it's been really good.
No, really, really enjoyed it, mate. I thought it was a cracking idea. And, you know, you never know. We could be doing it in the future as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So from the Wolf Pod and from the Double Up Pod as well, we wish you good luck this game week. We hope all your arrows are green, and a big oi oi from us.
Oi oi.